Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3. Welcome to Sustainable Singapore with me, Rhianne Lovell-Boland. This is where we get the lowdown on everything green in the march to address climate change. Now, taking away from the hawker centre or having food delivered is a regular, insignificant occurrence for most of us. But we hardly think about the plastic footprint we leave behind when using single-use cutlery, which ends up in landfill for hundreds of years. Taking on this quest to save the planet from plastics are nature-loving entrepreneurs from Incredible Eats, who have caused quite the stir with their idea, edible spoons. So what are they all about and what impact do they have? Well, on the line to tell us more is Dinesh Tadapalli, co-founder of Incredible Eats. Hey Dinesh, good to speak with you.
Hey, likewise. Good to speak to you as well.
All right, well, first off, let's start with the issue at hand, single-use plastic. Every day I see people with lots of plastic bags, food containers, cutlery, especially here in Singapore during our heightened measures. And there's also been a lot in the news recently about how last year in Singapore, 94% of plastic waste was not recycled. My first question to you is, how have lockdowns around the world contributed to an increase in single-use plastic?
The pandemic started because of us clearing of the forest and making the livestock and the free animals closer to proximity. And basically, climate change kind of caused that indirectly. And once we entered the pandemic, we started making it worse with respect to the single-use plastic. The studies recently showed that 30% of increase compared to 2019. Like, for example, in 2019, just in the U.S., we used 100 million single-use plastic utensils and we disposed them off every single day. And because of the pandemic, it increased by 30%. That's a large number. And not just the utensils because of the takeouts. And also, we have been using about close to 130 million masks every single month across the globe. That's a lot of masks and gloves and PPE kits as well. So I believe in order to secure our planet for the future generations, we need to do something about it. I mean, if each person thinks, okay, he's contributing to the plastic, so in what way that he or she can help, then this would help. Because people have the power in hands to change it, not just the corporations or governments.
Yeah, absolutely. And your website shares a shocking statistic that by the year 2050, there will be more plastic than fish in our oceans by weight. So how harmful is single-use plastic, not only to the environment, but also to us and our health?
Yeah, that's a great question. Unfortunately, for decades, I think close to 60 to 70 years since the onset of single-use plastic, we have been using it and disposing it off without giving it a second thought. And nature is not sitting quiet. It's kind of giving it back to us in the form of microplastics. As you mentioned, by 2050, there would be more plastics than fish in the ocean by weight. That's actually a very, very, very dire situation our future is going to be in. And if you actually listen to the latest scientific research, we are already consuming up to a credit card-sized worth of microplastics every single week. The microplastics is in the food we eat, in the air we breathe, and the water we drink. So basically, nature is grinding up all the plastic we've trashed so far, making it into micro and nanoplastics and giving it back to us in the form of the food and the nature that we actually live in. So my biggest worry is, if we are living in this age, what would happen to my children? I have two young kids and I'm very, very worried on what would happen for them in the future, how much of plastics that they would consume because of us not taking up our actions. And that's the reason why we started this journey, actually.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if we're all consuming a credit card worth of plastic and you have kids, I mean, just imagine what generations to come are going to be consuming. So that was clearly the eureka moment for you guys. So can you share more on the process from idea to inception on creating your incredible spoon?
So the idea came in when I went to an ice cream shop with my young kids. My daughter was 2 years old and my son was like 6 years old at the time. And obviously we love ice cream. We go once in a while. And once we finished our ice cream, I was about to throw my plastic spoon into the bin. And I saw hundreds of spoons there and cups, obviously. And that hit me hard. All of a sudden, I went into a revelation. I was getting depressed. I'm an educated guy. I know about microplastic pollution. I know about climate change. I know about all these things. But why didn't I think twice before using the next plastic spoon? Why did I just enjoy my ice cream for 10, 15 minutes and didn't feel any guilt when I'm throwing that plastic spoon in the bin? That was my initial eureka moment. I was like, okay, as an educated person, why was I not acting about it? And why are people not thinking about it? Why are billions of people doing these actions of takeout or even eating at an ice cream store or any other place where the single-use plastic is relevant? Why aren't they thinking twice about it before using it? And that's when we decided we will make an alternative to single-use plastic, which is very fun, innovative, and it will make a person think about it. So after 2 years of research and development and 83 trials, I met with my co-founder, Krivil. He's in India. And together, as engineers by background, we designed a machinery that can make edible cutlery possible. So the challenge was to automate it. It was very easy to make it by hand at home. How do you scale it up and make thousands of them every single day? And that's what we spent our engineering effort, and we made it possible. And once we got our first 100 spoons out of our machine, I brought them to the US and I introduced to the market here. You wouldn't believe my first order was 150,000 spoons from a caterer in Canada. Before that, I didn't even sell a single spoon. And I immediately sold my home in the US. I took all the proceeds of my home sale and I put it back into a factory in India. Once we scaled it, we were able to fulfill that order and we started scaling since then.
Wow, what a fantastic journey and a massive, huge order. So clearly you knew there was interest in this product. But can you tell us more about what they're made from?
So our edible spoons are made from a mix of wheat, oat, brown rice, corn, and chickpea. That's the base ingredients. And we also add natural flavor as per the flavor profile. So we actually have both savory and sweet. In savory, we have plain oregano chili, a black pepper. And for sweet, we have vanilla and chocolate spoons. So the taste is very subtle. You don't find it too much it won't change the food that you eat with. And our each spoon stays firm for up to like 40 minutes in cold foods like ice cream or yogurt and about 25 minutes in hot foods like a soup, or like a rice bowl or a veggie bowl.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a lot of fun. And I mean, I have to admit, the other day I also went to a very famous fast food restaurant to try one of their new desserts. And the dessert came in a paper tub, but then the spoon they used was plastic. It seems like a bit of a wasted opportunity. So tell us more about how you're working with restaurants to get this more widely available.
So our initial strategy was go towards B2B and food service, like all the quick service restaurants, the fast food restaurants, ice cream shops. Ice cream shop was the easiest sell because that's where a lot of plastic spoons are used for just for 10, 15 minutes of usage. We in fact started working with a premium ice cream chain brand. I can't disclose it public yet because we're under trials right now, under an NDA. And that brand exists in the US and as well as the entire Europe. So our concept is once we get partnership with the premium chain ice cream brand that I'm talking about, pushing towards a large partnership initially, that can bring in the visibility to the rest of the shops who are using plastic.
Then the big question is, what difference does it make if people switch to using Incredible Spoon? Let's just take maybe the US as an example. Do you have any data that you can share?
Yeah, sure. The US uses 100 million single-use plastic utensils every single day. That's a huge amount. So even if like few percent of it, like I would say 10% of my initial goal is to replace it by 10%, that's close to 10 million plastics reduced. And by the way, by 2020, we already reached our first goal of replacing 1 million plastic utensils with edible spoons. And we're not just stopping for there. We're already having edible forks, edible chopsticks, and edible straws and pipe right now. And hopefully by the end of the year, we'll introduce all three of them to the market.
Actually, I was going to ask you if you had edible chopsticks in the pipeline, because I know many of us here in Singapore do go to the hawker centre, and the plastic wastage is really a huge issue. So that's really good to hear that you're moving on to other things apart from spoons. That kind of leads me on to my next question, because as engineers, how do you go into this business and price the product, especially in comparison to plastic spoons, but also how do you keep them affordable to keep the business going?
Yeah, that's a great question. We felt that, to be frank, right, as you mentioned, we are engineers with background. We didn't have any experience with the food industry when we started this in early 2019, introduced the product in the market. And I decided first I need to learn how the industry works and also market at the same time. So I decided to go to the trade shows. I went about to 8 trade shows in the entire US, and I learned how the food industry works with them. While I was learning, I went into multiple pitch competitions. We won about 5 to 6 awards across 10 shows. And that's how I met with large companies as well, and even the large ice cream chain brands that I started talking with them. And this is how I started introducing the product in the market. And coming to the cost perspective, obviously, this is made with grains. It's a food product. I can't bring it as close to plastic because plastic is super cheap. It's a byproduct of crude oil. The way we came around this is initially when we went to the local ice cream shops who were like very sustainable, when we pitched the product, but when I told them it cost like 15 cents delivered to them, they're like, oh no, this is too expensive. This is almost like 7 times expensive than my plastic spoon. How am I going to bear the cost? So that's when we came across with an idea to give this as a topping, because it is a food product, it can be eaten. So don't take it as a, just a vessel or a utensil. So what we did, we just gave them 500 spoons and said, why don't you try, charge them 20 cents and see how they would receive it. And it worked really great. And like, for example, a few shops in San Francisco, they're charging 50 cents per spoon and they're making 30 cents profit out of each spoon. The shops are being happy because they're making extra revenue. The consumers are being happy because they don't have to use a plastic spoon. And we went a step further too. Instead of asking consumers whether they want it or don't want it, we are giving it by default. Like, for example, if I go to an ice cream store, I get a scoop of ice cream, and they give me an edible spoon by default, and they charge me 30 cents for it. If you ask me whether I want it or I don't want it, I may or may not think about plastic pollution. If you give me by default and then ask me to say no for it, then you will think about plastic pollution. So basically, coming back to the concept on how I started this, going to an ice cream shop and not realizing that I used a plastic spoon, I want to hit that behavior. I want to make sure people are aware of the choices that they make. And on top of it, the shops are happy because they're making their extra profits and revenue. And this is how we took care of the challenge of it being more expensive than plastic spoon.
Absolutely. And I think that's the whole premise of sustainability, how we have to change our mindset. And I think you really adapted the mindsets of consumers and also your customers in a really great way there.
It takes time because it's not very easy to convince an ice cream shop. If you take McDonald's or some of these big chains, right? It's not easy to go tell them that increase your cost of your spoon to 20 cents or 30 cents. But it's going to be easy if I'm going to pitch them saying that that 30 cents that you charge will give you 10 cents extra profit per order. That's a huge number, right? Like, for example, if you take Starbucks, they use 2 billion straws per year. And even if they make 2 cents out of a straw by an upsell, they will get like $2 million per profit. That's a lot of money. And best yet, this gives them an opportunity to make money and be sustainable. I see that's a win-win situation there itself.
Now, inevitably with packaging, you must have to use a bit of plastic. So tell us a bit more about this and how you tackle the plastic used in packaging and shipping.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest challenges. I mean, I spent almost 6 months to find the right packaging for this product because it is very hard to find something which doesn't have plastic in it. So initially, we use paper to wrap around the spoon, and the boxes are also made from paper, and it's coated with a water-soluble varnish. It's not, there's no plastic anywhere used. We still noticed that you use clear plastic to wrap around your pallets because some of the shipping companies will not take your food product if it's not wrapped around correctly. And we noticed that. And what we realized was we have to compensate for what we make. We weighed all the plastic that we used in the across, like from starting from manufacturing till it goes to the end consumer. We compensate that twice. Like, for example, if 1 gram of plastic is used from like sending one box of spoons from India to US and also sending it to the consumer, we actually take 2 grams of plastic from the oceans and recycling it with the help of our partners at Greenprint. It's called Impact Collective. It helps you make sure that you're plastic negative. And not just plastic, right? Even carbon. When I'm shipping products from India to US, there is carbon emissions involved in it. And we made sure that all the carbon emissions we do are offset by planting trees. So we are officially plastic and carbon negative impact company.
Yeah, actually, that was leading me to my next question about Impact Collective. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and also what projects you contribute to?
So Impact Collective is a conglomerate of a few startups and companies which are actually planning to show themselves as officially plastic and carbon negative. It's from a company called Greenprint Coalition, and they give us opportunities. Like, for example, we fund towards a plastic collection program at Haiti, and they go to the oceans and pick up the plastic from the oceans and on the shores, and they recycle that to the products that they can be used back into the life cycle. That's for the plastic part of it. And the second part is the solar and wind energies, as well as planting trees. We contribute to a couple of projects in India as well as in Canada for tree plantation and also to offset the paper that we use. Within the U.S., we only use carbon neutral shipping. And on top of all that, as a person, I have this habit of planting trees whenever I'm happy. Whenever I do a win, I immediately go plant trees. And we already planted 10,000 trees so far to offset everything. So it's like we do our best at every single step that we make to make it as good to the planet as possible.
Wow, sounds like you're very happy then. 10,000 trees, that's an incredible amount.
Yes.
And I think you've already achieved so much since your first product in 2019. And I wish you all the luck with everything moving forward. I've been speaking with Dinesh Tadapalli, co-founder of Incredible Eats. Thank you so much for speaking with me this morning.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. And I hope all your listeners will think twice before taking the next plastic cutlery.
If you want to find out more, you can find them on incrediblespoon.com. I'm Rhianne Lovell-Boland. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.